This is the Ask Pastor Alex podcast with your host, Pastor Alex.
All right, welcome back, everyone. I'm Pastor Alex, lead pastor of Georges Creek Baptist Church in Easley, South Carolina, and I want to welcome you in to another episode of the Ask Pastor Alex podcast. And today we've got a really interesting question. Should Christians celebrate the three feasts of Judaism? All right, so I think we need to get some background here and establish what the three feasts actually are and what their significance was. Because at the end of the day, there are a lot of feasts and festivals and celebrations within Judaism, but I'm assuming that when this question asks about the three feasts, it's referring to the three pilgrimage feasts in which all Jewish men were required to travel to Jerusalem. So here's what I'm going to say. If I'm wrong about that assumption, please feel free to email me again and clarify which three feasts you were referring to, but I'm going to go with the three that I'm assuming you're referring to here. So let's get started with what they are. The first great feast within Judaism is Pesach, which is also known as Passover. This is the one that I think most people are familiar with. The first Passover meal was celebrated while the Israelites were still captives in Egypt, and we read about this in Exodus chapter 12. Now, Passover was to occur on the 14th day of Nisan, which was in March or April, depending on how you're reading the calendar. And in anticipation of God sending the final plague upon Egypt, the Israelites were required to sacrifice a perfect spotless lamb, and then they were to spread the blood of the lamb over their doorposts and lintel of their houses. Next, they were required to eat the flesh of the lamb along with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, and they were to make sure that nothing remained once they finished eating. So they were also to eat in haste because the angel of death was about to sweep through the land. So this was kind of a rushed meal. You had to eat quickly and make sure nothing was left. And when the angel of death passed through the land that night and saw the doorpost covered in blood, he would Pesach. He would pass over that house and spare it. Any house not covered by the blood of the lamb would experience the death that the angel brought. So that is the first feast within Judaism. It is the Passover feast. The second of the great feasts was Shavuot, which is the Hebrew word for weeks. This is known as the Feast of Weeks. And this feast was to occur 50 days or 7 weeks after Passover on the 6th of Sivan, which was in May or June. And we read about this feast in Leviticus 23, verses 15 to 22, in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 9 through 12. And you need to understand this feast, it was originally a harvest feast, but it was later associated with the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And so this feast marked the beginning of the wheat harvest in Israel. And so the Israelites were to bring in an offering of their first fruits to the temple as a thanksgiving offering to the Lord. And this included 2 loaves of bread that were made from the first wheat of the harvest. The third feast is Sukkot, which is just the Hebrew word for booth or tabernacle. And so this is the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And this feast occurred from the 15th to the 21st of Tishrei, which is September, October. And we read about this feast in Leviticus 23, verses 33 to 43, and Deuteronomy 16, verses 13 to 15. Now, you'll notice that this was not a one-day feast like the other ones. This was a 7-day feast that commemorated Israel's 40 years of wandering and living in tabernacles or living in booths in the wilderness. And so the way the Israelites observed this feast, they built these temporary dwellings, these tabernacles or booths, and they lived in them for 1 week. And in later Judaism, they actually started incorporating ceremonies involving water and light to symbolize God's provision and presence during that time. So these are the three great feasts of Judaism, especially the ones that would require all Jewish men to travel to Jerusalem to celebrate them. But the question remains, should Christians continue to celebrate these feasts or observe these feasts today? And I would argue no, for a number of reasons. The first reason is, while modern Jews do still observe these feasts, they don't even follow the biblical guidelines for how they are to be celebrated. Now, to their credit, this primarily has to do with the fact that there is no temple in Jerusalem to even offer sacrifices at anymore. And so modern Jews have had to drastically change how they observe these feasts, and these changes were never actually sanctioned by the Bible. So modern Jews do still celebrate them, but not necessarily in the way the Bible ordains that they be celebrated. Secondly, and I would argue most importantly, every single one of these feasts and its significance is fulfilled by Jesus. And I want to go through each of these and show you how Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these. So for instance, with regard to Passover, the last Passover meal we see celebrated in the Bible is Jesus with his disciples at the Last Supper. At this meal, Jesus instituted the observance of the Lord's Supper in the place of the Passover. He even commands his disciples, his followers, to do this meal, to celebrate this meal in remembrance of him. And there's a good reason that the Lord's Supper takes the place of the Passover meal. And primarily it has to do with the fact that the Bible tells us in John 1:29 that Jesus is the Lamb of God. It goes on to say in John chapter 1 that Jesus is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." So not only does the Bible specifically refer to Jesus as the true Passover lamb, but let's keep in mind that Jesus' death on the cross also perfectly coincides with Passover, when they would have sacrificed a perfect spotless lamb and covered their doorposts and lintel with its blood. But we need to remember that the Passover was specifically connected with the Old Covenant. However, Jesus brought about a new covenant, and so now we are covered by his blood, our Passover lamb, and because we are covered by his blood, we, like the first Israelites, will pass safely through the judgment of God. Everyone who is covered by the blood of the true Passover lamb will have eternal life. They will not experience the judgment of God. And so therefore, I would say we do not need to celebrate the Passover because the Lord has instituted the Lord's Supper in its place. Rather than eating a meal to commemorate the Passover in Egypt, we eat a meal to commemorate our Passover lamb giving his body and blood in our place to atone for our sins and keep us safe from the judgment of God. So that's how Jesus actually fulfills the Passover. Now, with regard to the Feast of Weeks, Jesus also fulfills this. The timeline of the New Testament actually makes this really clear. So for instance, remember that the Feast of Weeks was to occur 50 days after Passover. When we look at the New Testament, we see Jesus celebrating a Passover meal at the Last Supper, and then he died on the cross and rose again 3 days later. After his resurrection, the Bible tells us that he spent 40 days appearing to his disciples and teaching them about the kingdom. Then on the 40th day, he ascended into heaven. And then the Bible tells us that the disciples went away to be together. And then the next thing we hear in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost has come. Now, you probably recognize the name Pentecost. You probably even know what happened on the day of Pentecost. But have you ever stopped to consider why it's called Pentecost? I mean, what does that even mean? Well, interestingly, in Greek, Pentecost means 50th. Why is that significant? Because this is when the Feast of Weeks was to be celebrated. It was to be celebrated 50 days after the Passover. This also explains why there were so many people in Jerusalem during Pentecost. They were there to celebrate the Feast of Weeks. Also, remember that the Feast of Weeks was to commemorate the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. What happened on the day of Pentecost? God sent the Holy Spirit, who is called our helper and counselor, and according to Jesus, he said of the Holy Spirit, he would teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. That's John 14:26. When God gave the law on Sinai, it was accompanied by wind and fire. When God sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, he descended like what? Like tongues of fire. And even the word wind in Hebrew, ruach, and in Greek, wind, pneuma, they can all mean breath, wind, or Spirit. And so the Old Covenant law was given at Sinai and it was written on tablets of stone, but the Bible tells us that the New Covenant is written on our hearts, according to Jeremiah 31:33, by the Holy Spirit. And so this Feast of Weeks, is actually fulfilled by Jesus at Pentecost with the giving of the Holy Spirit. And finally, when we look to the Feast of Tabernacles, this was also fulfilled in Jesus's ministry. During the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews performed a water pouring ceremony, And when Jesus attended this feast during his own earthly ministry, he used this opportunity to declare, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." He said this about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. That's John 7, 38-39. It was also during this feast that the Jews lit large lamps to illuminate the temple. At this same feast that Jesus was attending, he used this opportunity to declare, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I mean, we can even break the fulfillment down to the word tabernacle itself. You remember, the Jews made temporary tabernacles to commemorate their time in the wilderness and how God dwelt among them in their tents at that time. Well, the Bible tells us in John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And the word "dwelt" there in the Greek is actually just the word tabernacle. So Jesus has come and he has tabernacled among us, and he has made his own people his dwelling place. And so, as we can see, all three of these feasts and what they represented have been fulfilled in the life and ministry of Jesus, which really leads me to the last reason we shouldn't celebrate these feasts. All of these feasts, like so many other things in the Old Testament and in the Old Covenant, were but shadows of a greater substance to come. And once the substance has come, you never go back to the shadows. One way I really like to explain this is there's this really cool tree here in South Carolina called the Angel Oak Tree. It's located on John's Island. And the canopy of this tree covers 17,000 square feet. And it has these really cool, gnarly looking branches. And for me to get to that tree, it would take about 5 hours, okay? So let's say I drove 5 hours to go see this tree and take pictures of it. And let's imagine that when I get there, the sun is at its highest point, and it's a beautiful day. And I walk up to approach the tree, but I'm looking down, getting my camera ready to be able to take pictures. And as I'm looking down, I notice the ground. And I start looking at all the amazing shadows that the branches have cast all over the ground. And I'm so enamored by this that I start taking pictures and admiring the cool looking shadows. And I get different angles of them, and I go and look for more shadows and how cool they look on the ground. And before I know it, the sun has gone down and it's dark. And I look up and I can't even see the angel oak tree anymore. I can't even see the tree that I came to see. Now, if I go back home and anyone asks to see the pictures from my trip and I show them, they're going to say to me, "Cool shadows, but where's the tree?" And that's immediately what I think of when I think about Christians trying to participate and celebrate the feasts and festivals of Judaism. I mean, that's a cool shadow, but where's the substance? It doesn't make sense to continue to participate in celebrating the shadow when the substance is here. And we know that the substance is Christ. So why would we go back to admiring shadows when we have the substance? And I would argue that we shouldn't. We can appreciate these things as they pointed us to Christ. We can appreciate these things as they even pointed the Israelites to the coming Messiah who would fulfill all of these things for them. But now that he has come, we have no reason to go back celebrating the shadows when we have the substance. Therefore, not only are Christians not required to celebrate these feasts, but I would say that we shouldn't celebrate them because all of them have found their fulfillment in Christ. We need to focus on the substance and not the shadow. So I hope that you have found this answer helpful. Be sure to submit your questions to AskPastorAlexPodcast@gmail.com, and I look forward to answering more in the future.